Hi there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
I just want to say welcome. Good to see you guys for the first time. If you're new, I'm Blake. Hi. If this is not your first time, good to see you again. Always good to be seen. True? Yes. We're going to take a journey today, talking about, as Christian mentioned, one baptism. But we're going to cover the whole Bible today. Okay? In less than 33 minutes. So, not a joke. I mean that. Has potential to be my favorite message of all time. I'm glad we get to do it together. So let's go to work. All right, we are in a series called One. We've been talking about the church. We've been talking about what it means to be a believer in the gospel, what we would say is the God of all creation, and what that means for us, what that means for you today. We're talking about what that means in your life in every single second of it, but we're based on the text, which is the beginning of all time. So the foundation for our belief comes from what we believe is and always has been true, as evidenced by the Bible. So as a church, we do a series every single year talking about what does this mean? What does this mean for you as a person? What does this mean for your life? What does this mean for us as the church? That's why it's called One. And we've been working through the text this year of Ephesians, talking about what unifies us together in this belief that we have, which means we get to learn some things, we get to be held accountable to some things, but we also get to make some decisions on some things, and my hope is that those things are all true. And so last week, we've been working through the text, and we talked a lot about faith, what faith is, what it's not. We led ourselves to finding out that faith is the evidence of the belief that we have. It's not something we just think, it's something we are. It leads to what we do. Does that mean we always do what we want all the time perfectly? No. But it does mean that our belief leads to action. It means that our life should be evidence of what it is that we believe is true, and we get to make those decisions all the time. The invitation from last week was that what we believe in is intended to be the gospel message that is written in the Bible that we believe is God's word that is true. All of it, which is why we get to talk about that again today. Faith leads to action. This week, we're talking about one of the, what we believe is a clear-cut action that is the result of belief, the result of faith. It's baptism. So today we're going to talk about what baptism is in action, meaning a methodology or an action that you take. But the whole Bible story talks about the reason why. That matters more than the things that we do if all we do is things for no reason. I think that makes sense. It made sense up here. Let's try it again. The why behind the what always matters. True? The why. Baptism is not just a thing that we made up to like celebrate and do videos about. Okay, it's not something that we just do the way that we want it for the reason that we want it. Baptism is one of many public declarations of what it is that you believe. And where we live now in today's day and age, in the century that we live in, that is not a new thing. It is an always has been thing. I believe that the text tells this story from the very beginning, which is where we're going to start today. Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1. But I want to make it abundantly clear our church's stance on what it is that we believe baptism is, why we do what we do, and then we're going to take a journey through the entire text to just go, here's why, 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 here's why. And then maybe another here's why, and then there's going to be a multitude of ones that I'm not even going to talk about today that you get to go find on your own, if you want. Sound good? So, we're going to start the preface to Genesis 1. I just want to, again, read again our Ephesians verse to set up our series, and then we're going to dive in. So, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, talking about unity again for the church. This is the series set up. Paul says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Baptism is deliberately included into that significant statement. Anything that you see in the text is there for a reason. Sometimes the reasons that appear to be obvious are not the right reasons, which is why we are to be a people that learn, that are discipled, that are taught, that change, that make decisions based on what we discover is true over time. Baptism is in there for a reason. Here's what we believe as a church. Baptism is a public declaration of the faith and the belief that you have in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God, sent on purpose to ransom his life, to be paid as the price to be reconciled back to God. Baptism is a public declaration of that by being fully immersed in water and brought back out of the water. It is a symbol, it is a covenant image that a person says, this is what I'm about. That's it. That's what we believe. No deviation from that, no change of that. If you come to our membership class, we're gonna teach the same thing. Fully immersed underwater, out of water, to be a new creation is the symbol in the method, in the showing, in the modeling, in the repeating that we're gonna look at today. Who's it for? The decision is to have belief in who? Jesus. Now there's lots of people that God has used over time, that lots of people have trusted and believed in, that they followed. But the one is the Jesus. So baptism is a declaration of faith in him and in his gospel message and in him alone. If you want to know more about that specifically in detail, come to our membership class. We do it once a month. But we're going to talk a whole bunch about the why and where that comes from out of the text today. Here's what I want to say before we start. Okay? I'm not here to convince you of anything. I'm not. What I am here is to paint a picture of what I believe the theme of the Bible is so that you get to make your own decision. That's not different for any message any week, whether it's me, Christian, anybody else that's up here. We believe that our job, being led by the Holy Spirit and discerning through other people in our church, is to deliver the truth of the message of God so that you get to make a decision. That's it. That's it. So, definition of baptism, then Genesis 1. Here we go. Definition of baptism is the word baptizo used in the Greek. Most often is the verb form of what it means to be baptized. It means to dip repeatedly, to immerse, to submerge as in a sunken vessel. Think sunk ship being brought back out of the water. To cleanse by dipping or by submerging. To wash, to make clean with water, to wash oneself or to bathe. Again, a different version of that, the word baptisma in the Greek is the noun form of that. It means immersion or submersion. And that word picture is pretty clear. Now, it can be turned into, as you see, to clean, to wash. There's a connotation of that. But the greater picture is a fully sunken and then re-emerged vessel. Picture. Make sense? If I had a little ship, I would dunk it in a bucket and take it out. That's the picture for today. Okay. Here we go. 1 Peter 3. Nope, I'm not doing it. I'm going back to Genesis 1. Got to do it. Got to do it. We're going to start in the beginning, and we're going to roll through a whole significant part of the Old Testament. Here's an invitation for you today. Would you see the theme of water going into the water, coming out of the water? Would you see the theme that something has to be dead before it comes back to life? Something has life, and then it dies, or it comes from nothing, and then it goes back to life. Water is the separator. It's just the icon. It's the image. It's the choice. It's the factor in which denounces from dead to life. Just a little side note. What's the price to go from death to life? What's the price? What was paid? Christ what?
Blood.
The blood of Jesus. That's exactly right. So the blood of Jesus is the payment. The water is the identifier that shows the distinction between dead to life. Make sense? The cleanser of it. We'll go through, read all the stories. Here's what I want you to ask yourself today. What identifies you? Where's your life come from? Is it in the blood of Jesus? Has the price been paid? And have you made a distinctive action to show that? Have you made a declaration to the world in front of God and everybody else, that I am no longer dead, I'm alive. That I'm no longer chaos and nothingness, but I have purpose and intentionality. And I have made that distinction clear by the washing of the water to present new and no longer old. That's the theme for today. Let's jump in. Genesis 1, chapter 1, you're going to see themes and objectives. I'm going to give you most of the parts, but not all of them. Little breadcrumbs, little snacks along the way. Okay, hopefully you're like, I got to read that. I got to reread that. I got to look in that. That also is the hope for today. Okay, in all of creation, in the beginning, there was nothing. Genesis 1, chapter 1, in the very beginning, says, in the beginning, God created the places and the spaces. He created heavens and the earth. And it says that God, if you read it directly, I'm reading out of the NIV, it says that it was formless and empty, a beautiful chaos of nothingness is where God was. It says the Spirit, or the Ruach of God, was hovering over the waters. There's water in the beginning. And it says in the next couple of verses here, verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light. There was light. Saw there was light. It was good. He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, called the darkness night. There's first day. And then it said, God said, let there be an expanse between the waters. I'm going to separate the water. We're going to separate it from the top and the bottom. So out of water becomes separation, and in the separation of the water begins creation. So out of water, in between water, God makes that which is. And out of what he says, out of nothing becomes something. And there's water. It says God is over the water, and he separates the water, and in between the water becomes the beginning of all things. Creation. And we go on through the Genesis count. We see that he makes land and birds and animals and light and dark and stars and all the different stuff. You go through the creation account, but in the very beginning it said God was present over the waters and he separated them. In between the waters begins the whole story. The firmament. The waters above and the waters below. And we're going to see that those waters are going to again come back together in the story. But do you see in the very beginning in creation God exists and there's water and he separates the water. And in the middle of the water, what does he put? All things. Creation. In the beginning. Water is the symbol of that which separates and distincts and shows life. That's Genesis 1, the very beginning. If you fast forward through the story, we're going to see that God creates the garden, the center of all life. It's thematically to be the place where we find life and purpose. He puts two people in it. Who is it? It's Adam and Eve. And it says that the garden is between a multitude of four rivers. So yet again, if we look at it, and you can see that there's four rivers, and there's a separation of the water, and the beginning of all life is where it's in the middle of the water. This is where we see that the garden is. It says out of Eden, the water flows, and in the between of the waters is where God puts the garden of all life, which is where we get to make decisions about it, don't we? Good and bad and right and wrong, and which tree do we pick? And who do I trust? And then it goes to the story of Cain and Abel, and the same story is shown. Will you trust? Will you believe? Do you have faith? We trust in God and trust in yourself, and we see there's a bifurcation of all humanity, and not only in one single act, but in all of our acts, to where sometimes we choose right and sometimes we do not, and God will allow us to build either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of ourselves. And as the story continues to move on, and we see that there's the beginning of creation, we see that Garden Eden, the beginning, we come to one of our very next figures, figure of Noah. And we see that through creation, God gives an example and he gives us a chance and we make decisions, and the decisions of most of the people of all of the earth were only evil all the time. That's what the Bible says. It says that God was grieved by that. And so he blew it up and the story is over. What's one of the things that you're going to do today? You're going to hear the story of the Bible and you're going to look at the theme of baptism and you're going to ask yourself, where do you sit today? Where do you sit today? Some of you, that's your story, it's already over. You're like, yep, I made a bad decision, God hates me, it's over. We're on page 3, y'all. It's not the story. Now, does God look upon all creation and say, man, there's things that grieve me because that's not the way I intended it to be? Yeah. Are there things about our stories that we look at that God looks at and goes, man, that grieves me, it hurts me, that's not the way I want it to be? Yeah. Yep. Which is why before that part of the story says you still have a choice. 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 God's choice, his part, is to continue to tell the story of all creation in your life that we're going to see over and over and over again, not once or twice, but like 15 times this morning, is that God wants to bring something out of your nothingness, out of the chaos that is darkness. He wants to bring life, and he wants to show it through the themes of the text to say, no matter how many times you make that decision, I'm here, I want to redeem you back. So the entirety of creation, we see that God says that our inclinations of our heart are evil and we don't choose to trust God when we trust ourselves. So he looks upon all of creation and he says, nothing is worth saving it except those whom will choose to be faithful and believe that they'll trust me, that they'll know me. And he comes across this person and the idea of this family through Noah, which is the idea of his name that says that God remembers. Even in your worst spot, God remembers you. In Noah, it says through his family, God is going to show all of creation what he believes in and what the story is about. And out of the wretchedness and the chaos and the darkness and the brokenness, God saves for those who will choose to continue to believe. And so the entirety of the earth, what does God do to the entirety of the earth? He floods it, which means everything that he has made through the separation and the presentation of water, where does he put it? Right back into the water. Right back into the water. And we start to see the theme of the text where it says, God will save you out of the water, out of the flood of your life, I will bring life. But in the process, I need to flood some things. I need to flood some things because some of the things that you've believed in that are bad for you in creation, I actually want gone. And here comes the gospel. We're starting in the beginning, chapter 6 through the text. God says, I'm going to put all of creation back. I'm going to sink it. I'm going to bury it so that it's dead. And out of that, I will preserve life. And we start to see a couple themes. Is that through the ark becomes the vessel in which God brings life. But out of death of creation, God saves. And he puts in that those who have faith and belief, life. It says that out of the waters, those who believed, God began a covenant with. Trust and faith. And we see that God now starts to attach symbols and icons to this relationship for those who are starting to believe the story. And it says that from that, Noah was one who had faith and 8 of them were saved out of the water. And then we see that there's water, which is the separator between death and life. Let's go, okay? There's the separator. Now, who's the one that did the saving? The water? God did. The person's part, the family, the person's responsibility, their decision is to make a belief statement, to choose to build the boat and get in it, right? And God saves. Now he starts to show us icons of this covenant relationship between people and man and creation, and he calls them covenant symbols. A covenant is just our agreement. And it said, God said, after he saved him out, I want you to start a new creation, a new life, a new way. But in the very beginning, was it good or bad in the very beginning? 1, verse 1, verse 2 and 3, was it good or bad in the very beginning? It was good. And then it became what? Not good. And then what's it happen after we become saved through the water? It's good again. God says, restart, renew, redeem. He makes a covenant symbol with those who would believe. And in this case, when the waters again receded and separated, where new life in the next step comes about, there's a symbol that God makes in the sky. And what is it? It's a rainbow. What's a rainbow? It's his promise. So let's talk about the physics of it. It's water. And what is it that goes through the water that we can now see the promise? Light. Come on, you're preaching. Right? Light. God created light in darkness in the beginning. Light is that which is true and good. When light goes through water, which is the symbol of separation, we have the covenant promise that we see with our eyes. You can't make this up. And then the beginning goes. And we're talking from this in the first couple chapters of the text. We see that there's water. We see that there's a decision. We see that there's life and death. We see that the way to go from death to life is evidenced by the symbol of water because God is using a theme for our life in the very beginning. We go from Adam and Eve, we go from the creation event where God's in the separation, we go to Eden and we go to Noah, and we start to see signs and symbols and covenants. And then we get to Moses. Who has heard of Moses before? Yeah, come on, Moses. Anybody know what Moses' name means? It's in the text, I'm not stealing it, it's in the text. Okay, this is Exodus chapter 2. His name means I drew him out of the water. Yeah. both objectively in reality, floating down the river, found in the reeds, an actual child in the water, but his name means out of the water. And Moses is going to be the gentleman that God chooses to build faith and trust, and he fails and messes it up all the time, yet his name means out of the water. And this gentleman is going to be the person that leads the entirety of God's people and the nation of Israel out of bondage and slavery and death. And he's going to set them free in the Exodus. And by the time they go through the Passover and then they get to a spot, the decline or the exclamation point of them going from slavery into freedom is they cross the what? The waters. And what does God do with the Red Sea waters? He separates it. And those who believe, they do what? They go through it. And on the other side of it, they have gone from death to life, from slavery to freedom. And God says the icon, the symbol of that is water that delineates the separation from the old to the new. Do you see the theme? Gosh, we're just in Exodus chapter 2. Is it the water that saves? No. But is it a symbol of a declaration before all of creation, a covenant relationship between you and the creator of all of the universe where you say yes? Absolutely. Does it mean you have all the answers all the time? No, you got most of them. But it's in faith and belief, which is what we talked about last week, which leads to a decision. The man's name is out of the water. Israel crosses the sea. He sets him free. Now, we talked a second ago about the part of blood in this whole thing. We're going to do a little sidetrack and get right back on, okay? What's the part of blood in the story between death to life? It's a payment. It's a price. Let's go back to the nation of Israel, to which God is using Moses to set them all free. What was the distinction that they were to put on their homes, on the doorposts of their house, which let them know that they have indeed been paid for? It's blood. Okay, the rebirth, the new birth process is a multitude of things. Water is a major one, but blood is too. That part matters. Those that have made the decision, the price paid comes from blood. And you know what blood stands for thematically? Life. Because to get life, you lose life. Death to life. The price has been paid. Now, when you go through the plagues, begin before they cross through the water, the doorpost was the final piece of which they identified themselves through choice for those who believed that God is their Lord and Savior. Prior to that, there's a river in the plagues. And what's in the river? Water, which is the separator. The one that says cleansing, the one that says new, the one that's identified. And what is one of the things that God does to the water in order to show them that he means business? Turns that water into what? Blood, which is an indicator that what it's going to take for them to go from death to life is going to be blood. He's starting to set up the gospel message way back here, starting right here. So the indicator of the story is that water matters. Baptism is a part of it. And so does the blood. The blood is the price that is paid. Then we start to go from Moses, and we're gonna jump ahead. We're just gonna summarize the next couple bits here. And we see that God starts to give the law. He starts to take his people into this environment where this relationship, to where they learn who he is and who he's not, who they are and who they're not. We see that they cross the Jordan, right, and they're celebrating. But were they super happy to be set free from Egypt the whole time? No. In fact, most of the time, they're like me. It's not what I wanted to say, but it's true. It is what I wanted to say. It's true about you too. I get grumpy and frustrated. I complain. And I have faith, and then I don't. And then I go, it was better in my old life back there where I had no identity, and the only thing that made me was what I made myself. I wish I was back there. And we see that the people go through the blood process, identifier of the door through Pentecost, and then Moses leads them through the Red Sea. And then they get to a spot to where they start to get grumbly again. And it's this concept of the word called Mara, which means bitter. And it says that once they cross the water, they find water. Because water is the key to life again, by the way. This is where you just interject modern day things where you're like, I could not eat for 3 months and be fine, but if I don't drink water after 3 days, I'm dead. Life is in water. They find water. And it says that they can't drink the water because it's what? Bitter. Because was the water bitter or were they? Yes. Yes. You see the theme through the water. Water is the separator. God says the thing that delineates you from the old to the new, just a symbol. He's the one that does it. We're the one that believes it, but the symbol is the water. It says sometimes you're stuck in the old life that where you were. Where are you this morning? And he says, that symbol which cleanses you, which cleans you, which is the separator from death to life, sometimes you carry around, it's bitter. You've turned this life-giving, free-flowing, dependent entity that God uses as a symbol for a reason to be bitter. Some of you are swimming in the bitter water still today because you liked what you had before, or you don't like the way that God's doing it, but you've missed the fact that he's brought you all the way through it. Would you faithfully believe and trust in him? We're just in the Exodus right now. But for the sake of time today, to get through the whole Bible, we're going to move a little further ahead. Do you see the theme so far? You seen it? Okay. You go from Moses and you jump into the nation of Israel. We talked about that. You go after the entirety of the Exodus and you start to get to the people that God's using as leaders, Elisha, Joshua. It says that in these specific people's stories, that their moments of faith and belief to where they turn away from their old self occurs after they walk through the waters. The Jordan River in both of those instances were separated. And in their faith, they went through them to leave behind that which was entangling them, to in faith trust God and be icons that lead the nation of Israel and the people of God to new life, leaving the old, trusting the new through the symbol of parted water. Out of, through the water, God brings new life. Out of faith. And you're going to continue to see that theme. Who's heard the story of Jonah before? You're like, we all have. It's the whale story. Right? It's just bubbling in you right now. I could stand here for 30 seconds and not say anything. God's going to preach to you right now. I'm not going to. I almost thought about it. It's a story of Jonah. Jonah's another person like us that God says, I have a plan for you. I want to send you to a place where you trust me and believe me. He's like, nah. I'm going to the complete opposite place that you want me to go, God. Anybody else this morning? So God throws him out of a boat. Where? Into the water. Where in the water? Sunken in the water. And guess what's in the water sometimes? Guess what we find sometimes when we take the leap of faith, sometimes not in our hearts, but we know we have to. Guess what's under the water in a lot of places? Our past. Beasts. In this case, a giant fish beast. We call it a whale. And into the belly of the beast we go when we dive into the depths of the water. Because sometimes that's where God needs to kill the stuff that needs to be gone out of us. So Jonah gets buried in the water in a process of which God wants to bring something new out of that which was old. And in the belly of the beast for 3 days, it's a weird number, in the cave, in the darkness, buried into death, Jonah has a faithful moment to where he's vomited, or we could say birthed out of a fish, to end up being a person that out of faith and trust goes on mission of who God is, buried in the water. Wrestling and putting to death old things, being born again into a new life to be about the kingdom of God. It's the story of Jonah. Jonah goes to the place that God didn't want him to, but he knew that that's the place he wanted to be after he put his trust in God. It's the story of Jonah, buried in the water. The last one for this morning is that there becomes a man that is going to prepare the way. The man is John the Baptizer. John, the assistant to people to be in the water, buried in the water, made a declaration of faith and belief, an icon, covenant symbol between a belief in God of all creation, to prepare the way for the one in which all will be baptized into, the one whose blood is the payment that brings us from death to life. Through water, the symbol would be made. John, the baptizer, John, the new life declarer, John, the from dead to life talker, comes on the scene. Now we see between the story of Jonah and the time of John that the people of God, if you read the entirety of the text, believe in the concept of baptizing because it's a symbol of separation and cleanliness. And so they did it everywhere they could all the time. In full submersion, there were baptisms of repentance, baptisms of belief, They had the concept all the time, and they even took it to the extent of going, I want to wash my hands, and that's called baptism. I want to wash my feet, that's called baptism. I want to wash the sacrifices before we put them on the altar because we're presenting them before God. It's a faith act. It's a trust act. There's washing and bathing, which is the definition, but the theme is fully sunken into death. You can't unsee it now. And then John the baptizer prepares the way for the one. And what was John doing? He was helping people choose life out of belief by baptizing them in immersion, like the theme that you've seen through the beginning of the text. And then we get to our New Testament. And here's our verses for today in the New Testament. Matthew 3:13-17 says, Jesus came from the Galilee to the Jordan. Heard that before. To what? To be baptized, fully submersed. By being a person that is going to show what it takes to give his life to death, to be raised again by the power of God, to new life, that he would be the model and the image of all creation that we get to follow. And why did he do it? Because of all the things I just shared and more, and for this reason. He said, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? Do you see that now? You're the one. I'm doing the baptizing and we're choosing. And God, you've been doing this from the beginning, but you're the one. I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? Here's what Jesus says. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all that is right. To fulfill all righteousness. To continue the theme that God has presented since the beginning. That in death you can have life. That there's redemption and restoration. That out of faith you can do and be what God calls you to be. And what's the symbol and the icon of it? Baptism. So Jesus, the one and only, the model for us, says, that's why. Because if I'm going to invite you, which we're going to get to in a minute, to be this, to show this, to teach this, to model this, to prepare the way for those that would come after me, I got to do what I'm asking you to do. That's who our God is. He does it first. So Jesus says, for all righteousness' sake, then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, as we've talked about. And at that moment, heaven was open. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. The voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. If we jump ahead, Matthew 28:18, the end of Jesus's ministry. It says, Jesus came to them. This is the disciples, the apostles that had been training in righteousness and showing them the way. He came to them. And he said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. Doing what? Baptizing them. For whose sake? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You think he just kind of like had to force that one in there? We're looking to get all my word count for my essay, so I just got to put let's put baptism in there. Oh my goodness, do you see why now? That screams the theme of the story from the very beginning. Help people make the decision of what they believe. Old to new, death to life, gone to where we are, who God, that's the story. Help them declare it. Jesus modeled it. Jesus commands it. Acts 2:36-47 is the implementation of it. Here's what we see in Acts, which is the establishment of the church, which is the result of the faith of the believers, which came from the model and the method of the apostles that they learned from Jesus, that Jesus was the imagery of the fullness of God from the Old Testament and the practical application to the new goes from the story of God to Jesus, to the apostles, to the church. This is what we do. This is what they did. Verse 36, therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? When we believe, when we hear, when we know, what do? Repent, which means faithful turning, and be baptized. For every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, then the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized. It says, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And here's what they did. We're just attaching this, because this message is about being the people of God, the church. They believed, they repented, they were baptized by immersion, we believe, which is evidenced in the next seven verses that I list in your notes as to how and why they did it, which ties to the exact theme of the Old Testament. Here's what they did after that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe in the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions. They gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They became the church. Devoted to the truth of God. Devoted to being discipled and teaching. Devoted to being people of generosity. People that meet in relationship consistently, that share what they have, that help when they can, that ask for it when they need it. And their faith and their trust and belief was evidenced by the action of the covenant symbol of baptism, and they chose to be together. Does the water save you? No, it doesn't. But it's a picture of what you believe in and why you believe it. Who you are and whose you are. And then they were this way because of what they were living out, their belief. It's a starting point, it's not an ending point, right? So what does that mean? If you look back, you're going to see Simon and Philip and Saul and the jailer and all of the people out the Acts are going to hear the story. They're going to hear the gospel message and they're going to go, we've heard of this idea of baptism before. What is it that we need to do? And they say that baptism concept comes to full, perfect fruition in Jesus. Make that declaration for him and him alone. He's the only way, the only one. And there's instances where multiple believers up to that time were like, okay, we will. Because this is now the fruition of the fullness of the story in the person of Jesus. They had believed in the concept. They had believed in the process because the entire story led up to that about who God is and what he does and how the relationship and the covenant symbols are there. But the Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one that all the prophets talked about, that all the story leads to was upon them. And they said, be baptized, make that life symbol change with the covenant of God for him in his namesake because he's the final one. He's the one. And they said, okay, when? Now. Now. When you believe that now, the Ethiopian said, I see water, what keeps me from being baptized? Nothing. The jailer in the middle of the night that experienced a move of God said, what do I need to do? Be baptized now. Those said, we've heard of John. John baptized. What should we do? Be baptized for Jesus' sake. When? Now. Because faith and belief in the story of God leads to action when we're motivated from the heart. And story after story after story shows the story in their story. What about your story about what you do with the gospel in the goodness of God since the beginning that says, I've made that which is good and I redeem that that gets off course. Will you say yes for me? Here's how. It's what the church did. It's what they said. It's what you're invited into. I'll close with this. Romans 6 and Colossians 2. Just goes to continue to tell the story in the epistles of the New Testament, the letters of the story of the people of belief. Romans 6:1 says, what do we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Paul's talking. He says, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. Right? How can we live in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Death of what? Sin. Death of the old creation. Death of our own inclinations. Death of my own emotions, my own wants, my own needs, my own fears. Death to that, buried in the water, the symbol of baptism, but buried in death with Christ. We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Gospel message, where are you today? Do you not know that you were buried? Some of you this morning are like, man, I needed to be reminded. Some of you have not been buried yet. You get to make decisions every day. As we close, Colossians 2, 11 through 15 says, for Christ and all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. What was circumcision, by the way? A physical sign of the covenant between God and his people. Covenants all the way through the story. Baptism is another symbol of the relationship between you and God. He's actually making that reference here, Paul writing to the church in Colossae. He says, your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith and in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Everybody okay? Man, do something with what you're feeling right now. If it's not for you, do it for somebody else. If it's not for you, do it for your kids. If it's for you, make a decision. Who are you today? What's the story that you believe in? What needs to be dead and buried? What needs to come to life? Do something with what God's doing with you, with the word of God that's living and active. Don't do nothing today. Man, the world needs that message. Some of us in this room need this message. Some of us need to take it to the ends of the earth. Let's be a people that are compelled by the gospel message that choose to make decisions so the world would know. One faith, one hope, one declarative statement of baptism that all point to Jesus. If you want to make a decision today, we want to talk to you. Come talk to our team. Come talk to somebody at the information table. You want to make a decision for Jesus? We want to be like John the Baptizer to help you make and choose life. Do it today. We want to help. It's who we are. It's who the church is. Whole Bible, kind of. 37 minutes. I hope it was worth it. Praise God. Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.